ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कृष्णे स्वाधमो भगते धर्मज्ञनादिभिः सह कालो नष्टादृशमेष पुरनर्गो दुनोदितः। Today we're going to be reading from The Nectar of Devotion by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we'll be looking at the references that are mentioned in the passages that he gives in the chapter Evidence Regarding Devotional Principles, which is chapter 7. And we also happen to have the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu commentaries here. So this book was written, it's translated by Banu Maharaj. In beginning of next year, the BBT will publish this entire Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in two or three volumes, depends what you want. What do you want? Two big volumes or three smaller ones? It's more expensive. So, it's hard decisions to make. In any case, it required a year and a half of intensive editing. It's a massive work, obviously, and everything has to be perfect when it comes out from the BBT. Srimukunda Datto, I believe, and others. Chitri Kisaki, welcome back to ISV. Please give a warm welcome to Chitri Kisaki. So this is chapter 7 from The Nectar of Devotion. This is called Evidence Regarding Devotional Principles, Accepting the Shelter of a Bona Fide Spiritual Master. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, I will be needing Bhagavatams also, by the way. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd chapter, verse 21, Prabhuta tells Maharaj Nimi, "My dear king, please know for certain that in the material world there is no happiness. It is simply a mistake to think that there is happiness here, because this place is full of nothing but miserable conditions. Any person who is seriously desirous of achieving real happiness must seek out a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of a spiritual master is that he must have realized the conclusion of the scriptures by deliberation and arguments, and thus be able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, are to be understood as bona fide spiritual masters. Everyone should try to find such a bona fide spiritual master in order to fulfill his mission of life, which is to transfer himself to the plane of bliss." This is verse number 21 from the 11th canto, 3rd chapter. Liberation from the illusory energy. But although Prabhupada cites that verse, he also refers to the verse previous to that, which is number 20, which says, that's 11.3.20. It says, "One cannot find permanent happiness even on the heavenly planets, which one can attain in the next life by ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices. Even in material heaven, the living entity is disturbed by rivalry. with his equals and envy of those superior to him. And since one's residence in heaven is finished with the exhaustion of pious fruit of activities, the denizens of heaven are afflicted by fear, anticipating the destruction of their heavenly life. Thus, they resemble kings who, though enviously admired by ordinary citizens, are constantly harassed by enemy kings who therefore never attain actual happiness. In the purport, the commentator refers to the commentary of Srila Sridhar Swami. Srila Sridhar Swami has quoted the following text from the Chandogya Upanishad. From where? 8:16. Tad yateha karma chitto loka shiyate evam evamutra punya chitto loka shiyate. One's present status of material pleasure, the result of one's previous work, will eventually be vanquished by time. Similarly, although by executing pious activities one will be elevated to a higher status in the next life, that future situation will also be vanquished. The basis of material enjoyment is the particular body one has acquired. So we talked about that in the class on Wednesday. It's a field, and the body is a field, and it is received because of one's previous activities. That kshetra comes by karma, our previous work, and it is arranged by maya, the illusory energy. And there's a limitation about how much happiness and distress one can get. Do you notice limitation of happiness and distress? One may think, oh, I want unlimited happiness. But both happiness and distress are allotted according to one's previous work. So in the opening statement of this Nectar Devotion chapter, one of the important points is to have a clear understanding that there's no happiness in this world. It's actually a mistaken idea, and it's one in which Prahlad Maharaj asked the question in his prayers to Lord Sringdev, Kutra Shisha Shuti Shukam Rigatrishni Rupa. Where is it? Kutra. Can you show me where the happiness is? Because we only actually hear about it, but we never actually attain it. There's never a point in time when one's satisfied or happy. Because, as is pointed out here, the pursuit for happiness, which good karmis, real karmis, know, is to try to go to the heavenly planets, not to live in Silicon Valley. And an intelligent person knows that once he or she makes it to that place, the clock's already running, you're going to lose it. Just like when you achieve some elite status here in the material world, for instance, flying on the air with the airlines. They make it harder and harder, by the way, too. It used to be you just fly a certain number of miles and then they'd move you up, but now you got to do miles plus pay money, reach a certain level, and then they put another level on top of it. Nobody even knows what it is. Global services. And so on. And then all you have to do is take, 6 months or a year off, and then they drop you back down. They never heard of you before. Not that they give you much service anyway. The material world's like that. No matter what elite status you attain in this life or the next life, it's already withering by the power of time. So an intelligent person, Krishna says, adyanta vante kontiya na teshu ramate buddha, a person who's intelligent. Intelligent also means that he or she has taken the time to deliberate on this and come to a factual conclusion. There's no happiness here. And also, that whatever happiness or distress is allotted to me because of my previous activities is going to come anyway. So Narada Muni says, Tasyaiva heto prayateta kovido nalabhyate tad brahmatam upariyada talabhyate dukavaranyata sukha kalena sarvatra kabhira ramhasa. He said, it's already allotted, therefore don't try for it. Don't try to adjust the material situation too much, except that whatever I've done thus far is going to have its reactions, and so it'll come, happiness and distress. You won't get more, you won't get less. therefore, he says, try for a spiritual emancipation. Try to advance spiritually, because that is something that is separate from the morass of material happiness and distress, about which we can do nothing more in this lifetime. So again, in the opening statement, Prabhupada says, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd chapter, verse 21, Prabuddha, who? Tells Maharaj Nimi, my dear king, please know for certain that in the material world there is no happiness. Anybody who accepts this statement, please raise your hand. You didn't raise your hand. Yeah, it's important to, if one accepts this statement, it could be life-changing. Because I'm working for various reasons in order to what? To stave off misery and try to find happiness. But if I fully embrace this understanding, Krishna gives also in the Bhagavad Gita, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punar Avartino Arjuna Mamapetya Tukantaya Punar Janmana Vidyate. There's no happiness from the topmost planet down to the bottom. All are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. That's a very sweeping condemnation of everything in the material world. Are we being negative? No, it's reality. And if you accept reality, then you're happy. And if you live for the illusory idea that I'll find happiness somehow or other, even though no one's ever done it in the material world to date, but I'll be the one who finds it. I'll be the lily Hiranyakashipu who makes a stand and somehow or other gets some happiness. Then such a person prolongs the suffering. So this acceptance of the fact. So then the other point that's made in the first paragraph is that a person who is seriously desirous of achieving real happiness must seek out a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. And then it goes on to tell the qualification of a spiritual master. So this is a reference which is given by Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 3rd chapter, 21st verse. So this is a famous verse. That's 11.3.21. Who's in the booth? Oh, it's there? Could we see the Sanskrit? There it is. I'll say, please repeat. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta. Jignasu Shriya Uttamam Shabde Paricha Nishnatam Brahman Yupashramashrayam. So this first word in the word for word, Tasmat. Therefore, so it's a conclusion. Why is it a conclusion? Because there's no happiness in the material world. And it's somebody who wants to find actual happiness, therefore. Then he says, Gurum, a spiritual master. Prapadyeta, one should take shelter of. Jignasu, being inquisitive. Shreya, Uttamam, about the highest good. Shabde, in the Vedas. Pade, in the Supreme. Cha, and Nishnatam, perfectly knowledgeable. A Pramani, in these two aspects of the Absolute Truth. Upashama Shriyam, fixed in detachment from material affairs. So this verse says, therefore, one should take shelter of a spiritual master, and then says what you do when you find a spiritual master. Go back to the word for word just for a sec. Jignasu, you should be inquisitive and ask. But what should you ask for? Not for ashirbad, that, you know, I can cure my arthritis or something like that. Prabhupada mentions this. That sometimes people come to a spiritual personality and then ask for some material benediction. This is a mistake. One should ask, Jignasu, Shreya Uttamam, what is my ultimate good? What is the ultimate purpose of life? If one asks the right person, then one can solve all the problems of life. And now the second half of the verse describes what is the right person. what is the qualification of such a person? That is, the spiritual master. Shabde in the Vedas, Pari in the Supreme, Cha, Nishnatam, perfectly knowledgeable. Brahman upashramashrayam, fixed in detachment from material affairs. So such a person is not no longer interested in arranging the material energy in such a way to find happiness. Has no more optimism in the material world whatsoever, and is fixed in a shabde, in the Vedas, and has heard properly, sufficiently, to know how to teach others the process of devotional service. Perfectly knowledgeable, nishnatam. So the translation we can read together. Therefore, any person who seriously desires real happiness must seek a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of a bona fide guru is that he has realized the conclusions of the scriptures by deliberation and is able to convince others of those these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, should be understood to be bona fide spiritual master. And again, the commentators quote from Srila Sridhar Swami. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the word shabde refers to the Vedic literature and pare refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The bona fide spiritual master must be nishnatam, deeply experienced in authorized Vedic literatures, and in practical understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without scriptural knowledge and practical realization of the Personality of Godhead, a so-called guru will be unable to dissipate the doubts of his disciples and therefore unable to execute the function of bringing the sincere student back home, back to Godhead. The symptom of realized understanding of the Vedas and Krishna is upashramashrayam. In other words, the bona fide spiritual master is one who has retired from the glittering illusions of materialistic society, friendship, and love. Within the material world, one is certainly attracted to becoming a great intellectual, a powerful politician, a loving father of many beautiful and affectionate little children, a most honored welfare worker, or a highly admired and successful businessman. But none of these material positions have a permanent basis, nor do they afford permanent happiness, because they are all based on the primary understanding by which one identifies himself with the material body. So these are the directives given by Rupa Goswami when he lists the 64 items of devotional service. These are called the angas of bhakti. And there are 64 total. And he gives special notice to a certain of these angas in his list. And we know that out of 64, five are particularly important, which are? Yeah, exactly. There's association with devotees, there's worshiping the deities, chanting the holy names, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, the association of like-minded devotees who are more advanced oneself, and living in a holy place. And if you can't live in Mathura Vrindavan, Mahaprabhu said that you should live there in your heart and mind. You should cultivate that. So out of 64 items, these are practically magical, says Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that even if you have a little connection with them, even if you don't have faith in them, if you have a little connection, that you will make advancement in devotional service. So these are special, he says. Then he also mentions that out of the 64 items of devotional service, he starts with three that are preliminarily, of course, not just preliminarily, but he mentions them preliminarily. He begins with these three, saying that these are vital to continuing in devotional service and to beginning one's practice of devotional service. And does anybody know what those three angas are? Yeah, he says that one has to approach a bona fide spiritual master, inquire a surrender, and and render service and take initiation. So these three are vitally important, and you'll find this is a major theme of the teachings of Rupa Goswami, which are the non-different from the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is certainly a very important aspect of devotional service, or as is mentioned here, the most important aspect. So as I was saying, this is from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rupa Goswami says, in the Hari Bhakti Vilasa, innumerable angas of bhakti are mentioned. Among those, the most famous ones will be explained to the best of my judgment. In bhakti, the characteristics of an anga are as follows. The learned define an anga of bhakti as a complex of devotional actions with internal divisions, or only one action of bhakti which does not have clearly defined differences within it. So for instance, deity worship, it has a lot of different complex other activities within it. And however, it's one anga of bhakti. An example of a complex of actions is archana. Only one action means action without clear internal divisions, such as taking shelter of the guru's feet or standing when a deity procession comes. Atra in this verse stands for in bhakti. Then he goes on, text 1274. The list of angas is as follows. Taking shelter of guru, then after initiation, acquiring knowledge. Service to guru with respect, following the rules according to the scriptures as approved by the acharyas. Inquiry about the real duties of life, renunciation of enjoyment to gain Krishna's mercy, residing in Dwarka or other holy places, or near the Ganga. So he goes on to list the various angas in a long list. You can see here. And then he comes to unpack each one of them. So he starts with this verse, Tasmad Gurum Prapadita, this Rupa Goswami, which we just read. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments, Shabde means in the devotional scriptures, Pare Brahmani means hearing and chanting about the Lord, and Nishnata means thoroughly conversant. So these are the qualifications of the person that one should approach in order to advance in the process of bhakti. One should approach somebody who's thoroughly conversant with the scriptures. And then he quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam, Das Rupa Goswami, 11.3.22. Accepting the bona fide spiritual master as one's life and soul and worshipable deity. The disciple should learn from him the process of pure bhakti by sincere service. By that pure bhakti, the Lord, the Supreme Soul, will be satisfied and give himself to that devotee. That's 11.3.22, no? Yeah, the translation here is, accepting the bona fide spiritual master as one's life and soul and worshipable deity. Translation is the same. So then, from the purport, according to Srila Sridhar Swami, the Lord's tendency to give himself to his pure devotee is demonstrated in the case of Bali Maharaj, who sacrificed his universal kingdom for the pleasure of Lord Vamandev. Lord Vamana was so pleased by the selfless surrender of Bali Maharaj that the Lord became the doorman in the palace of Bali, who is reinstated as a great leader in the universe. Srila Jiva Goswami comments that the spiritual master is to be considered the Atma, or the very life of the disciple, since real life begins when one is initiated by the bona fide spiritual master. Although one may experience many seemingly wonderful or important events in a dream, one's real life begins when he wakes up. Similarly, since the spiritual master gives birth to the disciple by awakening him to spiritual life, a bona fide disciple understands that his spiritual master is the very basis of his life. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the Supreme Personality of God is the reservoir of all pleasure, and thus the Lord's giving himself to a pure devotee indicates that such a devotee becomes immersed in the highest possible ecstasy. In this connection, there is the following Shruti mantra, Anantad dhimani bhutani jayante. Indeed, it is from the All Blissful Supreme that all these creatures have come into being. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has further pointed out that when the Lord bestows his own self upon a pure devotee, such a fortunate devotee can actually see the Lord, touch him, and directly engage in his service. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, are you appreciating that we're hearing from these various acharyas throughout the commentary? According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one should never consider one's spiritual master to be mundane or on the equal level with oneself. One should see the spiritual master as being always under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. One should never try to engage the spiritual master in one's personal service with the mentality of lording it over the spiritual master and attaining through him some material gain. One who has actually advanced will become more and more eager to serve the spiritual master, and thus such a disciple experiences the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Rupa Goswami has delineated four preliminary requisites for advancement for the sincere disciple. And this is the verse we had referred to before, which he gives in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We can say together, Guru Padashrayas Tasmad Krishna Dikshadi Shikshanam Vishrampena Goror Seva Sadhu Vartmanu Vartanam. Accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. 2. Becoming initiated by the spiritual master and learning how to discharge devotional service from him. 3. Obeying the orders of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. And 4. Following in the footsteps of great acharyas, teachers, under the direction of the spiritual master. That's from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.74, the section we're in now. One who has executed these preliminary duties is qualified to relish Srimad Bhagavatam. When one actually hears the sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam as it is, he becomes free from the desire for sense gratification and mental speculation and is happy and satisfied in the service of Lord Krishna. Yasyam vai shruyamanayam krishne paramapuruṣe bhaktir utpadyate pumsa shoka moha bayapaha. Somebody here read the translation.
Simply by giving oral reception to Srimad Bhagavatam, the feeling for loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness.
Keep going.
One should hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a bona fide spiritual master who can expertly engage the propensity for loving Krishna that arises from hearing the transcendental sound of the Bhagavatam. Such a transcendental authorized engagement is called Bhagavat Dharma. Within the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, there are many thousands of authorized engagements pertaining to the society's missionary activities. And by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and performing such engagements, the society's members feel relief from shoka, lamentation, moha, illusion, and bhaya, fear. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, those who have achieved a mature understanding of the transcendental sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam may adopt the order of Tridandi Sannyas, as described in the Hamsa Gita, the 13th chapter of this canto. A so-called Vaishnava who whimsically neglects the strict control of the body, mind, and speech cannot actually achieve shelter at the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. Even if such a whimsical sense enjoyer makes a show of assuming the dress and danda of a Vaishnava sannyasi, he will not attain the desired result, love of Krishna. A bona fide Vaishnava should work earnestly to free himself from any tinge of sense gratification and mental speculation. And with a loving heart, he should carry out the orders of his bona fide spiritual master. By always remembering the exalted position of the bona fide spiritual master, the disciple will achieve shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna.
So, again, the first paragraph Prabhupada gives for evidence regarding devotional principles. This is chapter 7. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd chapter, verse 21, Prabhupada tells Maharaj Nimi. What does he tell him? There's no happiness in the material world at all. Right? So, if one has that conviction, there's no happiness in the material world at all, one's lifestyle may be slightly adjusted. True or false?
True.
Correct. My dear King, please know for certain that in the material world there is no happiness. It is simply a mistake to think that there is happiness here, because this place is full of nothing but miserable conditions. Good to know. Right? Very helpful. Any person who is seriously desirous of achieving real happiness must seek out a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of a spiritual master, listen carefully, this is going to be on the quiz in about 30 seconds. The qualification of the spiritual master is that he must have realized the conclusion of the scriptures by deliberation and arguments and thus be able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, are to be considered as bona fide spiritual masters. Everyone should try to find such a bona fide spiritual master in order to fulfill his mission of life, which is to transfer himself to the plane of spiritual bliss. Okay, we'll take some reflections. First, I have a question for you. What are the two main points in this first paragraph? Yes.
One is that there is no real happiness in this material world, and the second was to take shelter at the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master.
Yes, very good. And now, what are some of the details or subsequent points of these two points? Yes.
So it describes the quality of the spiritual master, and one of them it says is one who have understood the conclusions of the scriptures.
Yes. As Prabhupada puts it when he refers to this verse in one lecture, Shabde Paricha Nishnatam means that he has taken a dip in the ocean of transcendental scriptural knowledge. Malini. So the bona fide spiritual master has to be conversant with the Shastra. Yes.
In addition to Shraddha Mataji's point, it's also described that the bona fide spiritual master is able to convince the disciple.
Yes, has to be able to remove the doubts. And if such a person has doubts himself about the efficacy of devotional service, or maybe thinks maybe there is some happiness in the material world, then such a person won't be effective in removing the doubts of others. Yes.
And one more qualification of a spiritual master is that he's not running after the material happiness, because he's now given up that there is a hope in this material world.
He's given up all material considerations. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
It also said that one should not consider the spiritual master on the same level as oneself.
Yes. One cannot derive the benefit. Prabhupada speaks about this extensively in the 4th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where he says that oftentimes family members will say, he's your guru, he's just, you know, he lives with us, you know, I mean, he's a... He said, but despite those relative considerations, the disciple should always see the spiritual master as the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Despite the fact that others don't have that vision, doesn't disqualify the spiritual master, should not dissuade the disciple from seeing the spiritual master in that way. Yes?
It was also mentioned that one may show off as a... I'm paraphrasing exact words, I can't recall, but one may show off as a great spiritually advancement, but one should very scrutinizingly get rid of all the desires for sense gratification. Unless one does that, one cannot, one may show up, but he will not achieve the desired result, which is the love of Krishna.
Yes, it's a very good point. One has to have full integrity and sincerity in the process. That is, one's activities publicly and privately should be the same. It's one way of looking at it. We're not showing up devotional service externally in a certain way and then internally doing something else. It's also mentioned as drinking water underwater on a fast day. The person is showing that I'm fasting, I'm such a great sense controller, and then he or she goes for a little shnan, dunks the head under the water in the Ganga, and lum, 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 starts drinking water, and then thinks, oh, nobody saw me. But this is a lack of integrity that will hold one back from advancing in devotional service. One shouldn't be duplicitous. Yes, Madhava Govinda.
So in the purport it was mentioned that one should hear from the spiritual master who can engage the propensity that for serving Krishna that arises from hearing.
Yes, it's a very important point, because one needs to be engaged in the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when one comes to a bona fide spiritual master who's already engaged in that service, that person can help engage the person in the Sankirtan movement appropriately. And this is one of the ways in which one remains connected to Krishna through that service.
And also it was mentioned that that this helps to get rid of the bhaya, moha and illusion and shoka.
And bhaya, moha and shoka, yes, by engaging in that service, exactly. Very good, and that's the way in which we become free from the miserable condition of material life. Yes.
It's mentioned shabde and pare. So if you could explain pare a little bit more in detail.
Could we see the word? Let me see, I have the word for word here. Shabde pare. Yeah, so shabde means the Vedas. And pare means in the Supreme. Shabde pare ti nishnatam. So such a person is perfectly knowledgeable about pare, the Supreme, and in shabde, in the scripture, that this, describing the Supreme. And that's the qualification that's being mentioned here. If one knows the, for instance, the that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and has done so through hearing properly. Krishna says in the Gita, Yo mameva masamudo janati purushottamam sasarva vidbhajatimam sarvabhavena bharata. That a person who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is considered the knower of everything. So one has to know the conclusion of the Vedas. Krishna himself mentions that there are those who know the Vedas very well, but they're not devotees. Prahlad Maharaj mentions this. He says such a person who may have all the brahminical qualifications, including vast learning of the Vedas, viprad dushad gunayutar aravindanaba padaravinda vimukat shvapacham varishtam. He says a person who's brahminical, he knows all of the Vedas, he has brahminical qualifications, but he doesn't believe in Krishna. He says such a person is not qualified as a guru. Whereas he says that a person who may have been born in a shopacha family of dog eaters, but who is a pure devotee of the Lord, such a person is qualified to pray to the Lord, to present Vedic knowledge and so forth. This is confirmed in many verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam as well. So shabde pare, one has to have completed the study of the Shastra. Prabhupada mentions that he, in one of his letters, that he wanted the devotees to take the Bhakti Shastri. And after completing it, they would achieve the title Bhaktivedanta and then they could start initiating disciples. That he wrote as early as, I can't remember, 1968 or 9 or something like that. So that this requirement is there, that one be knowledgeable in the Shastra, Shabde Pari, and one must be fully and firmly convinced of that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tasmad Gurum Prapadyeta. Yes. A question.
One of the purport is very nicely mentioned that Atma or disciples should consider spiritual master as one's life and soul. So when we go through different phases of life, maybe just working and grasp the life, or in which how to practically have that complete like life and soul, we understand that you have other duties that you perform. So what is it literally meaning of life and soul?
May I have please the Srivatsa, please bring me the Adi Lila, volume 1, text number 34, 35. In 15 seconds or less, or your money back. Thirteen, 12, 11, 10, 9. Thank you very much. He just walked in, I took advantage. So Prabhupada writes that one should always remember that a person who is reluctant to accept a spiritual master and be initiated is sure to be baffled in his endeavor to go back to Godhead. One who is not properly initiated may present himself as a great devotee, but in fact, he is sure to encounter many stumbling blocks on his path of progress towards spiritual realization, with the result that he must continue his term of material existence without relief. Such a helpless person is compared to a ship without a rudder, for such a ship can never reach its destination. It is imperative, therefore, that one accept a spiritual master if he at all desires to gain the favor of the Lord. The service of the spiritual master is essential. If there is no chance to serve the spiritual master directly, a devotee should serve him by remembering his instructions. There is no difference between the spiritual master's instructions and the spiritual master himself. In his absence, therefore, his words of direction should be the pride of the disciple. There's more about that, but in that context, Prabhupada himself was busy with family and business and felt that he didn't have much access to his spiritual master during his grihastha years. And he always deferred to this instruction, or referred to it, that one should be attached to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of God in one's life and soul. Prabhupada maintained that throughout his life. He didn't have extensive association. However, it was very intimate and loving when it was there. But he took very seriously the directed but very few instructions that he did get from his guru. One of them was when he first met him. And during that meeting, when Prabhupada was a young man just starting household life, his guru told him, you should preach this to the Westerners. And he said later on, when he was 70 years old and just sailing off to the West, that I waited so long to do this. But that instruction was incubating in his heart that whole time. And he was doing everything he possibly could during that time to put himself in a position to execute the order. One may not be able to execute the order right away, Prabhupada says. In such a case, one should ask this question. He should say again and again, how can I do, how can I do, how can I do? And also, one should live a life in preparation. If you can't fully execute the order right now due to various obstacles, then you should be preparing yourself so that you can execute the order fully. Practically speaking, it's the same thing. If you're connecting to the order in your heart and preparing yourself externally in any way that you can to get to the point of fully executing, and it's the same as executing it. You have a follow-up?
No, I think it's satisfied completely. So, the next one was the last word of the 11.3.21. It says, Upasam Upasham Ashram. He's detached from the material affairs. So, one instruction that Prabhupada also gives that, okay, everyone should try to be guru. It's not just the sannyasi or anyone. So when we take this instruction, what this means when...
You should become, he writes in report, you should become, everyone should become a guru devotee. That means, guru means heavy. Heavy means that you're not knocked around by the senses. That's one of the primary instructions. Vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jihva vegam, udarapasta vegam, etan vegam, yo vishaheta dhira. Sarvamapi mam prithivim nashishat. What does that mean? Prithivim nashishat. It means a person who has achieved the aforementioned, which is controlling the urges of the senses, is qualified to make disciples all over the world. That's how the translation goes. It means that, in another way, the senses are the masters of this world. Kamadinam katina katida palita durnideshas. They're the masters of this world. And if one, that person who is able to control the senses by following the process of devotional service under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, such a person then becomes everybody's spiritual master, because who is there that's not controlled by the urges of the senses? So, prithivim nasishat. Such a person is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So one has to control the senses. Takes practice it requires that one is practicing devotional service, because vishaya vinivartande niraharasa dehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param jishvandavartate. In order to fully control the senses, one actually has to be preoccupied with hearing and chanting and be fully satisfied by that. If you don't find full satisfaction in the process of devotional service, then it's absolutely guaranteed that you'll be interested in material sense gratification, even if you don't like it. Even if you think this is not a good idea, you'll still be compelled. So there has to be a higher taste in which one then leaves behind the lower tastes of the material world. And this becomes evident in our lives as we advance in devotional service. The Srimad Bhagavatam says, you'll notice it yourself, that you're no longer being pushed by the lower modes of material nature. Hey, where'd you guys go? Here a minute ago. Now it's gone by Krishna's mercy. It dissipates. And this is the cause, Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, for celebration. He says, once your heart is cleansed, you can install Krishna on the throne of your heart, and you can hold a festival and invite everybody and have a big feast. It's a day to celebrate. Okay. Malini, then Shraddha.
When Mukharavinda Prabhu was asking, how does one consider a spiritual master to be life and soul, especially when you're going to Grihastha Ashram, I was remembering when I initially got married, I was not introduced to Krishna consciousness because I was not a devotee. But Srivas Prabhu was. And we were newly wed. So I asked Srivas Prabhu, so who is more important to you, me? Or your spiritual master? And then he answered, my spiritual master. I was brokenhearted. But and then I just came to America, and I was very attached to staying here. Then I asked him, you know, I think we should make plans to stay here. And then Srivas Prabhu said, if my Guru Maharaj asked me to go back to India, I'm leaving tomorrow. Actually, at that point, I realized that how serious it is to accept a spiritual master. And then I took it very seriously. Otherwise, I had no idea.
Amazing. Yeah, really amazing. This is the mood, and the spiritual master becomes the center. It also doesn't mean, for instance, in the Grihastha Ashram, that those devotees who are married and who are dedicated to the spiritual master, that they also don't have a loving relationship. I would argue that it actually becomes, it's a more intimate relationship. Because the relationship based on, you know, you love me, you don't love me today, you love me, you know, how come you said that? Rather than, you know, that's always there. But the fact is that when two people in Grihastha Ashram, man and wife, have this clear dedication to the spiritual master, they're actually able to relate to one another in a more intimate way, level. And to overcome all the other various differences of opinion, you know, everybody's senses are comprised differently, and there's going to be some kind of tension, and one can overcome all that ultimately by having this dedication to the Guru, who's the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thank you for being vulnerable. That makes life interesting. Okay, what else? Oh, Shraddha's next.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the wonderful class. I was just wondering that in the case of Bali Maharaj, who do we consider to be his spiritual master? Because his regular spiritual master, he did not obey him. So do we think that Krishna was there? Or?
Yeah, Krishna, he had accepted Krishna within his heart as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even when he first arrived in the assembly, he embraced him within his heart. But due to social constraints, he couldn't demonstrate that because there were a lot of demons around. He was in the middle of a sacrifice. He was the king. It was awkward. But Vamandev knew what was in his heart, what was in the heart of Bali. And also, you notice that he accepts, if you read the text here carefully, he accepts Prahlad Maharaj, his predecessor, as a guru. He's following he'll mention to his guru, Smarta Guru, who's Shukracharya, who's telling him, okay, you made this promise, but I can get you out of it, because there's various loopholes in Shastra. First of all, it says in Shastra, if you give charity, you shouldn't give away everything, because then how are you going to live? And you have to be able to live in order to perform religious sacrifices and things like that. So, you know, Vishnu is going to take away everything, so you shouldn't give it to him. And he also told him that you didn't say Om. Om seals the deal. It's the end thing. You didn't say it yet, so you can get out of this. And Bali Maharaj, I think, thinking back, it's like, Prahlad Maharaj, he wouldn't do that. He was a pure devotee. He wouldn't try to get out of this. He'd surrender to Vishnu. So he followed, the course, the Mahajans in his life. He thought of them, their example, their instruction. Yes, yes.
I was just wondering that as a follow-up question, recite the last verse of the Guru Ashtakam where it says Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasado. So is that applicable only to the transcendental realm, or is it even for the Smarta Gurus? Because apparently here Bali Maharaj did not obey his, you know, the mundane spiritual master, and he lost whatever the mundane part he lost.
Well, let's put it more in another way. We find that when Indra was sitting in his assembly and his spiritual master, Brihaspati, entered. And Indra did not get down to offer his respects because he was full of himself. He was thinking, oh, I'm being worshipped here. This is nice. I don't want to get down. And his guru came in, and his guru picked up on the atmosphere right away. And he turned around and walked out. And then Indra said, uh-oh, I blew it. And he got down, and he went to search for his guru, and his guru was gone. And then that's when the demigods started losing their power. In the meantime, the demons were worshipping Shukracharya. And it's mentioned there that because of the guru principle, because they kept their mood of worship going, they gained the upper hand. So there are two lessons. There are many lessons, but two of them are that, first of all, one shouldn't be attached to a materialistic spiritual master in any case. If that person is not Shabde Parichanishnatam, if it's not ultimately surrendered to the Lord, it doesn't have these qualifications, then yes, you'll get power there, but what kind of power are you going to get? The demons are interested in that kind of power. But the principle is there. It's there everywhere. You'll find that if you connect to a guru in any discipline, then you'll have a major advantage. You find somebody who's already thick with knowledge. They already, you know, practice till their fingers have calluses on them. And they've foregone other kinds of activities in order to be there to learn to discipline under their teacher. When you sit with them, you'll be able to take in so much wisdom as if you were doing an airdrop from an iPhone. You know, it just goes in. It's so powerful. And you'll notice that such a person is not different. You know, it's different who accepts in any discipline such a learned person and is following them carefully, inquiring submissively, following their instruction. They advance very quickly and they become noticeable. Spiritual life, one should accept somebody who's fully surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's the system Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita. Tadviti pranipatena priprashnina sevaya uparakshantite jnanam jnaninas tapvardarshina. Meaning, give the mic to our, this is our pundit pit over here. Just give a basic meaning of that verse. Tadviti pranipatena. Any thoughts you have about it? What's it about? In general, what's it about?
It's about like
call a friend.
You should surrender and serve a guru, a bona fide spiritual master, to to go back to God to achieve Krishna prema.
So you said spiritual master, but in this verse, what is that person called? What is Krishna calling that person?
Jnani, I think.
Tattva darshina. What does that mean? What's tattva mean?
Tattva means a being.
The truth.
Truth.
And darshina means?
See.
Yes. So he says, you should approach somebody who's seen the truth. So, and then he says three ways that you should approach such a person. Advait? Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashena sevaya. Okay, she's back in.
You can offer service to...
Pranipat, yes, sevaya. You should offer service. What are the other two?
You should bow down to...
Pranipat. It means bowing down, but it means in general there's a mood of submission. Pranipat. And third one. So listen to the verse. Listen carefully. You know these things. You just have to think in the moment. Tadvidi pranipatena priprashnena sevaya, priprashnina. Okay, you qualify, even though you're 6'8".
It says to inquire about...
That's right, make sincere inquiries. It's very similar to the verse we heard today. Tasmad gurum prapadyeto jignasu shreya uttamam. You should ask, like, what's the ultimate goal of life? When Rupa and Sanatan Goswami came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although they were highly learned, 8 languages, they knew how to run a government and do everything else in the world. They had no lacking of education. They came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, we don't know anything. We don't even know who we are. In fact, we're more foolish than even that because people call us pundit and we accept it. So please tell me who I am. Start from there. Inquire from the spiritual master in that mood. So that's the process. Be on alert. Okay, so the second paragraph from this chapter 7, evidence regarding devotional principles. The purport is that one should not accept as a spiritual master someone who is fool number one, who has no direction according to the scriptural injunctions, whose character is doubtful, who does not follow the principles of devotional service, or who has not conquered the influences of the 6 sense-gratifying agents. The 6 agents of sense gratification are the tongue, the genitals, the belly, anger, the mind, and words. Anyone who has practiced controlling these six is permitted to make disciples all over the world. To accept such a spiritual master is the crucial point for advancement in spiritual life. One who is fortunate enough to become under the shelter, to come under the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, is sure to traverse the path of spiritual salvation without any doubt. Okay. Next paragraph. Accepting initiation from the spiritual master and receiving instructions from him. Sage Prabhuta continued to speak to the king as follows. My dear king, a disciple has to accept the spiritual master not only as spiritual master, but also as the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Supersoul. In other words, the disciple should accept the spiritual master as God, because he is the external manifestation of Krishna. This is confirmed in every scripture. A disciple should accept the spiritual master as such. Are you all listening?
Yes.
So what are the other scriptures that that particular point is mentioned in? Hint? Where is it mentioned in the first chapter? That the spiritual master is a representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes? Okay, in Adi Lila, text number 44 and 45, Krishna's Kaviraj, and by the way, what's the first verse of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita? Starts with Vande. Vande Gurun. The first two words of this most important seminal work about Gaudiya Vaishnavism start with Tasmat Gurum. What does the word Gurum mean? Spiritual masters, plural. So there's a culture in our line of worshipping the spiritual masters. There are three kinds of spiritual masters mentioned in this opening chapter. One is called the Shiksha Guru, the one who instructs one, or actually going even before the Vartmana Pradarshaka Guru, which means the one who shows the path. So there's so much gratitude, and there's a transcendental vision to see that anyone, whoever it may be, who introduces one to the path of devotional service is a representative of Krishna. So this is the vision of Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is presenting. Someone comes and shows you the path of devotional service, then you consider that person worshipable because Krishna acted through him. So he's a representative of the Supreme. Then there's the next kind, Shiksha Guru, the one who gives one instruction about the Supreme and how to become a devotee. And Prabhupada mentions in his purport, the one I was reading from earlier, 1.35, at the very end of the paragraph, last paragraph, he says that normally, the one who gives one shiksha later on becomes one's diksha guru. Well, that's, you know, there's no exact stereotype about that. But shiksha guru can be many. You can have more than one shiksha guru. That is that the shiksha guru you can have in different areas. Generally, then of course is the diksha guru. Diksha guru is one who gives you the mantra, and you accept the mantra from such a person. Shiksha Guru instructs you how to use the mantra. So just like it's compared, the mantra is like a seed, and the shiksha, or the instruction, is like water. So what is more important, the seed or the water? They're both equally important. And that's the point that he makes here. They're equally important. One has to have the seed given by the spiritual master. One requires only one Diksha Guru to receive the mantra, but then one may have many shiksha gurus to help explain the mantra and to give one sambandha gyan, or knowledge about one's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there may be gurus who specialize in a particular area of devotional service that one takes. some instruction from. So in these verses, Kaviraj Goswami writes, Adi 144, Yajapi Amar Guru Chaitanyara Dash Tatapi Janiya Ami Tahar Prakash. Although I know that my spiritual master is a servitor of Sri Chaitanya, I know him also as a plenary manifestation of the Lord. Purport. Every living entity is essentially a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Need a reader over here.
Every living entity is essentially a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the spiritual master is also his servant. Still, the spiritual master is a direct manifestation of the Lord. With this conviction, a disciple can advance in Krishna consciousness. The spiritual master is non-different from Krishna because he is a manifestation of Krishna. Lord Nityananda, who is Balaram himself, the first direct manifestation or expansion of Krishna, is the original spiritual master. He helps Lord Krishna in his pastimes, and he is a servant of the Lord. Every living entity is eternally a servant of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Therefore, the spiritual master cannot be other than a servant of Lord Chaitanya. The spiritual master's eternal occupation is to expand the service of the Lord by training disciples in a service attitude. A spiritual master never poses as the Supreme Lord himself. He is considered a representative of the Lord. The revealed scriptures prohibit one's pretending to be God, but a bona fide spiritual master is the most faithful and confidential servant of the Lord, and therefore deserves as much respect as Krishna.
And in the next verse, Guru Krishna Rupa Hana Shastrara Pramani Guru Rupe Krishna Kripa Karina Bhaktagani. According to the deliberate opinion of all revealed scriptures, the spiritual master is non-different from Krishna. Lord Krishna, in the form of the spiritual master, delivers his devotees. Purport.
The relationship of a disciple with a spiritual master is as good as his relationship with the Supreme Lord. A spiritual master always represents himself as the humblest servitor of the personality of Godhead, but the disciple must look upon him as the manifested representation of Godhead.
So say now, take please 2 minutes, turn to the person next to you, and share whatever reflection you have, and then when I come back, we'll take the reflection you heard from the person next to you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Reflect. Get a partner. Thank you. Okay, let's hear what reflections you got from your partner. Okay.
My partner, Manisha, said, "There is no difference between the spiritual master and his words. So in case the spiritual master is not there, you could keep his instructions in your heart."
Keep the instructions, yes. And that you were referring, you want to follow up on that? Oh, you're giving, yeah. Okay, good.
Okay, so Avantika shared her realization that the relationship of a disciple with a spiritual master is as good as the relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it shows how you have to have a good relationship with your spiritual master in order to have a good relationship with the Supreme Lord.
Yes. What's a verse that confirms that we sing every day? Starts with a Y.
Yes, yes.
Yasya prasada bhagava prasada yasya prasada nagati kutopi jayam stuvam stasya yasastri sanyam vande guru shri chayana shrimad guru rashtakamita ruchar Brahme Mahurte Pratita Prayatnat Yastena Vrindavana Natasakshat Tasyaiva Eva Jana Chunta Eva. If one sings these eight prayers loudly every morning during Brahma Mahurta, then he goes back to Godhead. Just thought I'd mention that as an aside, because there was a young kid who heard this, and then he came to the Gaudiya Math where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was staying in Calcutta, and all these sannyasis, brahmacharis in the mutt, and they saw this little kid come in. He had come from a long distance from his village because he heard this verse, and he wanted to find a place where they sang it every day, because he said, then I want to go back to Godhead. So he was very eager to come to the Mangalartik. And then afterwards, the mutt basi said, you know, you got to go home. Like, you can't stay here. And when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta found out about him, he bought him a bicycle, so he could come to the Mangalartik every day and sing the song. Very good. Nice realizations and backups. Who else? Yes. It's easier to share somebody else's. She needs a mic, though.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Actually, it's... So, Preeti Radhika Mataji mentioned that... she actually narrated one of the pastime of Prabhupada based on this purport. She read somewhere where one reporter asked Prabhupada, like, how your disciples are so completely dedicated to you and serving you. Then Prabhupada said, you can be envious, but they have considered me on the same plane as Krishna, and they are they're serving me, considering as they are serving Krishna. And I also like the point here how Prabhupada has mentioned in the purport that the spiritual master is the manifestation of Krishna's energy, and how Balaram Nityanand Prabhu is also considered as a spiritual master, and the words of spiritual master are non-different from the words of Krishna. So.
Yes, and also in that pastime with Krishna, again somehow, too high? Oh, that's what it is. So Prabhupada also mentioned when someone asks why they're treating you in such a superlative way, that it's my duty to train them, because the spiritual master is the localized representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Uddhava gives this special prayer to Krishna near the end of the 11th canto, after Krishna's given him so many instructions. And he said that it would take... even if I had a lifetime of Brahma, I would not be able to express my gratitude sufficiently, because, he said to Krishna, you come as the guru, you appear internally as the Chaitya guru, and also externally you come as the Acharya, in order to show me by example and by instruction. Naivo payantya pachitim kavayastavesha brahma yushapi kritam ridamudam smaranta yontar bahis tanu pratam ashuban vadunvan acharya chaita vapusha swagatim vyanakti. So swagatim vyanakti means your own path. You show your own path. How? By internally instructing me, and externally you come as a guru. Someone may say, I just want to see Krishna directly. Just like if you go to those observatories where they have the big mic, the big telescope, and you know the big end is huge because it has to see a long ways. Well, it's not that it sees, but it's an instrument by which one can see a long way. So the lenses are gigantic. Have you seen these? And then there's a small end that fits your eye. So someone may say, I want to look in the big end. You won't see anything looking in the big end. But if you look in the small end, it's set up that way so that you'll see everything. So the guru may appear locally, may appear like, that guy? You know, I know him. He's a jerk. You know, that's like, this is a misunderstanding. The guru, as a representative of the Supreme Personality of God, this guru tattva has to be understood properly in order to please Krishna. He says so himself in many, many places. And this is the instruction of the Shastra given by Rupa Goswami. One has to know how to locally approach one's Shiksha and Diksha gurus and honor them properly, inquire from them properly, serve them properly. And in that way, one advances by pleasing Krishna and getting the information through them. Okay. Couple more.
So I was talking with her when we were sharing our realizations or reflections. So she asked a question and I answered, but I'm not sure. So she asked that when we say that approaching, accepting a bona fide spiritual master, does it apply to the Shiksha Guru or the Diksha Guru? And I just said both, but I wanted to confirm with you.
Yeah. Does what apply? You mean a pariprashnina sevaya?
Wednesday class also we were reading accepting spiritual master, and today also accepting spiritual master. So when in the context of these purports, what does Prabhupada want to mention? Like, is it both or?
Yeah, the one may have one initiating spiritual master because you only need one to give you the mantra, and you may have multiple Shiksha Gurus who give you instruction. And these are special relationships. If there's somebody who's become particularly prominent in instructing you in spiritual life, the same principles are there, that you have pranipat with any bona fide teacher, right? A guru means a teacher. So you are pranipat. You approach with a feeling of surrender. Otherwise, what are you going to learn? When I went to college, I thought, God, these people, these students, they don't know anything. They sit, they're disrespectful to the teachers, and they don't know how to inquire submissively or anything like that. Something that you learn when you grow up in Christian consciousness, right? And pariprashnena, asking questions, and sevaya, if you serve, then it opens the person's heart and they pour out the contents to you. So which is more important, the Shiksha Guru, the Diksha Guru? This is a matter of who's helping you the most also. But we respect the gurus as Krishna's representatives, so we respect them equally. And we approach in various ways. Then we may have more prominent Shiksha gurus, and there may be also a sense in which there's cooperation between the Diksha and the Shiksha gurus. We see this in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, where a particular Diksha Guru may recommend, you go take Shiksha here, you serve here, and that will be serving me. These kinds of things happen all the time. But there's a cooperation amongst all the teachers. The main point is to help everybody advance in Krishna consciousness. It's not to make some kind of a thing like, you know, it's not like gang members or something like that. It's like, I'm in this gang, and this, you're in that gang, and like, we'll have it out, you know. You know, it's a cooperation amongst all of anybody who's Krishna conscious will want to see that others are being helped in whatever way they can, so they cooperate. It's like doctors, lawyers. Lawyers will file an amicus brief. Amicus means friend. So that it's like, we're going to help you with the case because we think it's important. So, you know, gurus will come together and they'll say, let's work together to help this person or people and so forth. So it's a big cooperative effort, and it takes a team of lawyers to fight a heavy case. And similarly, you know, every person in Kali Yuga is a heavy case. And it needs a team of lawyers to extricate them from the, well, what'd you get yourself into? Oh my God, okay. We're gonna need some more help over here. And to cooperatively, it's a culture of guidance. We work together, all the gurus work together, the Shiksha gurus, the Diksha gurus. And with that mood, there's no envy that this is mine, that's yours. Like here at ISV, we have a plurality of gurus. And our idea is that we're all together working towards the same idea. We don't break off into groups. Of course, that's also nice too, that there's a sense of identity, that you have your own group. That's not abolished. You have that simultaneously, because you have guru is a principle and a person. So you have to appreciate both simultaneously. The principle of guru is coming through a particular person. And for every pot has its lid. Nirkula taught me that years ago. You know, people have it. They're looking for a relationship. And it's like, and then they find the right person. It's like every pot has its lid. So similarly, people, they're attracted to a certain person. You know, where the principle of the teachings of Krishna is coming through. So they see that person as guru, and that should be respected also and nourished. You should encourage. So not that, you know, it's all the same. We don't say that either. So both things are going on at the same time. And in a culture where that's encouraged, really those who encourage others to take shelter of guru, the person and the principle, these are our well-wishers. And the environment in which that's going on is a very nourishing environment. You'll find it anywhere you go where that principle of worshiping guru, all the different gurus on the different levels, is emphasized, you'll find a very conducive environment. Devotees feel joyful in their hearts to move forward in Krishna consciousness. Okay? Okay.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Shraddha Mataji mentioned that she has been dwelling recently on exactly this topic before reciting Guru Ashtakam in the morning. So it was very apt reciprocation for her also. We learned from the previous verse, Adi 144, that spiritual master is the eternal servitor of Lord Chaitanya. And Srila Prabhupada logically concluded, because every living entity is a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eternally, so spiritual master is also a servant of Lord Chaitanya eternally. But also at the same time, he is a personal external manifestation of Krishna. And so she mentioned that we are very fortunate to have access to our gurus.
Yeah, and it's not that just because all living entities existentially or ontologically are servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's more than that. This is mentioned by Nartam Das Thakur in his song Gorangera Dutipana. He says that those who enter into the Sankirtan movement, they are known as Nitya Siddhas. And Prabhupada emphasizes this in one purport, because he says different things about Nitya Siddha. It's also an interesting topic. But in one purport, he describes how we should consider not just the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who came with him. They came to assist him in his pastimes as Nitya Siddha. He said, but anybody, even, and he says, Narottam Das Thakur is saying this, that anybody who's entered within the Sankirtan movement as their life and soul, that's what they're doing in life, that's their occupation, that these people are also Nitya Siddhas. He says anyone who sees like that will become liberated. So, you know, we see the people who their full absorption in life is the Shastra and spreading the Sankirtan movement. And Prabhupada mentions this in his purport to verse 5 of the Upadeshamrita, with this important verse, Krishniti yasya giritam manasadriyita. This verse is describing the different levels of devotees. So in his purport, Prabhupada describes how there are various levels of devotees, the Kanishna, Madhyaman, Uttam. So he says that in the context of the Sankirtan movement, one who enters in very steadily follows the rules and regulations, chanting Hare Krishna over time, emerges as like a leader of the Sankirtan movement. And then he says one of the qualification of he gives as an uttama adhikari in that context is that the person knows the Shastra, is teaching it to everybody else, and is thinking about how to spread the Sankirtan movement 24 hours a day. So this is an indicator also of the in this context of the song Gaurangera Dutipada. One who enters deeply within the Sankirtan movement is full of knowledge and becomes also a liberated representative of Krishna by dint of being seriously connected to Lord Chaitanya's movement properly. Yes.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, welcome back from a
Thank
long
you.
Europe trip.
Thank you very much.
It was almost getting bone dry here without you.
I don't think so. We noticed who was here. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So I just want to thank Antariksha Prabhu for sharing a couple of reflections. the first one was, you know, where we talked about happiness. And it says if you want to really pursue real happiness, then you need to have a spiritual master. So that was something that, you know, he reinforced. The second important thing that I liked is he talked about the qualifications of a spiritual master. What should be the qualifications? Like, you know, he should be well-versed in the scripture, he should be a humble servitor. And then he said, what should not be the qualifications of a spiritual master? Like, you know, he should not be following all the devotional services and etc., etc., right? So if you see a person like that, then he's not qualified to be a spiritual master.
Who's not following.
Yes.
Yes. His character is doubtful.
Yes.
Things like that.
Yeah, so
yes.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Prabhupada mentions in the context of Haridas Thakur, Advaitacharya glorifies Haridas saying that some people teach, but they don't practice. Some people practice, but they don't teach. He says, you teach and you practice. And in his purport, Prabhupada says that if a person is both teaching and practicing, then that person is qualified to become a guru. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In the purport, it says, with this conviction, a disciple can advance in Krishna consciousness. And Mayapurpa was sharing that he has seen in his experience that those who have this conviction, they get empowerment to both advance in Krishna consciousness and expand the missionary activity.
Give me a verse that confirms why that happens, or that it does happen. Pundits? Okay.
Just servant of this first one. So, I'm just representing them. Vyavasatmika is from Bhagavad Gita.
Yes.
Is that the verse you're referring? 2.41. Vyavasatmika.
Okay, go ahead. Let's see you support it. Go ahead.
Okay. Vyavasatmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana bahusakayanantasya buddheo avyavasayinam. And another verse is...
No, explain it.
Okay.
I'm interested to hear. And what I'm saying is, what I understood your point was that you had said that if one is following the bona fide spiritual master, then one becomes more and more qualified.
Empowered.
Qualified, empowered. From following the spiritual master, one becomes more empowered. That's what I'm looking for. I know where you're going with this, because you're going for... But you said it, back it up. I think it's a good point. Go ahead.
So in this verse that it says that vyavasaya, so some I think Mukundata Prabhu was mentioning vyavasaya means business. Because I am from business background, I know that vyavasayas have fixed mind, that one thing, that business, how to, like 24 hours they are thinking how to propagate business, and so they are fixed mind, one-minded. Similarly, when we are service of a spiritual master with one fixed mind, that verse talk that vyavasayatim ka buddhi ekeha kurunandana bahusak. And if we become diverted in many, many branches, then we can never advance in Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, okay, that's nice. You know, this is like the Vaishya becomes empowered. We've noticed that if you go to Louis Bazaar and walk by Ganga Prashad, you go in there, I just want one gumsha. And it's just one gumsha, that's it. And then you buy your gamsha, you give him, you know, whatever it is now, 1,000,000 rupees for one gamsha, and then you went, you want sari? And because they're so focused on they're empowered, and you hear that word, and you're like, yeah, I need to see some saris right away. So similarly, somebody who's focused on the order of the spiritual master and following carefully, when such a person speaks, the vibration is different. But I had another verse in mind to prove this point. Malini's got it.
I was thinking of Bhejare Munayothagre Bhagavantam Adukshajam Sattvam Mishuddham Chimaya Kalpante Yenu Taniha. So previously all the great sages have carefully followed this process of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and anyone who follows in their footsteps, they are eligible to get the same
benefits. I like that. That's really good. There's another verse that Prabhupada said was a very important verse. Yasya devi parabhaktir yata devi tathagaro tasyaite katita hyarta prakashanti mahatmana. All what you both said is fantastic, a nice nuance also. This verse particularly says, that I just quoted, that if one has implicit faith in both the Guru and Krishna simultaneously, then all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed to such a person. You have to have that dedication to Guru and Krishna to actually know what the real meaning of the Vedas is. And isn't it nice when you share with others, then more kinds of reflections come out? We'll take one more, two more, and then, yes,
three
more.
I just wanted to share what Sukheshwari and Manjulakanta Mataji were saying. We were just discussing how spiritual master is non-different than Krishna, and she was mentioning how in a practical way how we can see that, and then the point came that the instructions of spiritual master or the Vapu is the Vani is more important than the physical association. And Sukheshwari was bringing up the point that how Srila Prabhupada, when he was initially, when he met a spiritual master, he only got very little association, physical association, but he took the Vani so carefully to his heart. And she was also mentioning how you also had very little association of Prabhupada, but you took his instruction carefully. And she was also mentioning about our Guru Maharaj, that he also had little association. So Vani is important, and that's practical.
Yeah, a godbrother of mine who was with Prabhupada in Hawaii got in a morning walk, and he was thinking, I'm going to get up close. And this happened in morning walks. There were elbows flying. And so he got closer and closer. And Prabhupada had a habit on his morning walks, when he was making points, he would stop. So they're walking on the beach, and a group of devotees, and this devotee was, you know, fighting his way closer, 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 and then Prabhupada stopped. And he didn't notice it. You know, like you're on the 101 freeway during rush hour. And so this devotee, my godbrother, jammed on his brakes, and he ended up this far, his nose from the back of Prabhupada's head. And he said in that instant, he realized it's not about physical proximity. Because he said, I'm the closest to my guru I've ever been, but that's not what it means. And so this, you know, physical proximity can be there, and it's described in one shastra to be like a fire. If you get too close, you get burned, because familiarity breeds contempt. If you get too far away, you won't be able to take advantage of the heat. So you have to learn to have a respectful and proper distance from the guru. Not that it's too formal or that it's overly friendly. There's a combination of these two. Vishrambhena means that there should be respect and also a feeling of friendship there. But don't become, okay, we're buddies now, we'll just hang out. That kind of thing also, it ruins the mood of how the mercy is passed down from one to the next. So there's a lot to be learned in the nuance of how to approach, follow, and be in the culture. The whole organization we have is this culture of how to respect the Guru properly. We have Guru Puja every day for Srila Prabhupada, and we see his possession properly also as the founder Acharya, so that he's watching out for all of us, and we take him as the ultimate arbiter of all the various moods and methods through which we conduct ourselves in the devotional practice. But it doesn't negate the fact that one needs to have a personal relationship with a guru also, both Shiksha and Diksha gurus. Because even as one studies Prabhupada's book, so many questions have come up, unlimited questions between one paragraph and the next of how do I execute this, and what mood should I do it in, what did Prabhupada say about it, and so forth. All these things taken together form a culture of learning in the mood of pranipat and pariprashnena and sevaya. Last one comes from Manjula Kanta, and then I have to move on to the next paragraph in the Nectar Devotion.
Maharaj, that statement reminded me of how the mood of Arjuna changes as the Bhagavad Gita progresses. And then when he sees the universal form, he sees that, and he has a statement, he says, you know, forgive me for I have treated you as a friend, and I have taken you for granted, and I have not been as respectful as I should have been. And now that I see that this is your potency, and this is who you are, no, now I shall be in the right mood, he says. And that is how he starts by saying, I don't know anything, I'm confused, so you guide me. And he goes down and he starts with that mood. And then and I was thinking how, Maharaj, when you mingle with so many people, that even when we first came in, we don't see the guru, we see the person. And then you are friendly and kind and you connect with us. And then as time progresses, we start to hear scripture and we associate with devotees and we understand that there is a guru tattva, that there is a principle and a person.
It's a good point. And there's a way that, a relationship is necessary. And what is the relationship? Generally, it's the mood that, oh, this person helped me and I noticed it. You know, it changed my life somehow, that there's an exchange of hearing, chanting, and direction through the scripture. And then you're listening and you go, oh, I feel really inspired. I'm able to overcome my doubts. And that becomes prominent in one's life. And people hear from different gurus and then they become, maybe, as I said, every pot has its lid. They find a way in which they're specifically inspired. So that's Krishna's internal potency working. Yes, good points. Okay, may I? The one last one from the internet. We can't miss that.
So this is Sundarananda Prabhu.
Sundarananda?
Yeah.
Where is he? That's why I couldn't get any bhav.
So he's sharing a reflection and a question. Our reflection is, thank you, Prabhu, for reminding us how the spiritual masters are representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how we should take their instructions seriously and maintain on them and how to practically implement them in our lives. And the question is that we have also heard that our relationship with Guru is eternal. How do we understand this with respect to disciples' relationship with Guru over multiple lifetimes? Does Guru, who also has a personal aspect, come back to deliver his disciples? And then he's quoting a verse, a couple of verses. Kali Kalera Dharm Krishna Naam Sankirtan Krishna Sakti Vina Nahi Tara Parvartan. And then, which is the fundamental religious systems in the age of Kali, is the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Unless empowered by Krishna, one cannot propagate the Sankirtan movement. And the second one is Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasado Ityadi.
Regarding your question, thank you for your excellent points and for the verses that you quoted. It's not a stereotype process. It's not that the guru comes back to save the living entities. And there's a way that it's taking place, as I just mentioned, which I'm taking from Shastra. Prabhupada says in the Nectar Devotion that the process of end one's relationship with the spiritual master is conducted by Krishna's internal potency. And how Krishna sees fit to use particular living entities, and we make no mistake, the guru is the representative of Krishna. Krishna is the guru. He's actually ultimately the only guru. Everyone else is the representative of Krishna. You'll find a very clear statement about this in the Srimad Bhagavatam in relationship with the Matsya avatar. And so he's the Adi Guru. Everyone else is a representative. And he uses, as Sundarananda Prabhu quoted, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi. Unless you're empowered by Krishna, by the internal potency, that it means that Krishna is using you in a certain way to inspire others. So he does so in various ways. He has ways that, inventive ways, which is necessary for living entities, to coax them out of the material world, to bring the living entities back home, back to Godhead. An example of this you'll find in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, where Gopakumar is sent by Srimati Radharani from the spiritual world in order to deliver the Brahmin from Jyotishtapur. This Brahmin is in a very similar situation as Gopakumar was when he came out of the material world. And he tells about how he met his spiritual master. His spiritual master, he was a cowherd boy and in Govardhan. Not his spiritual master, but Gopakumar himself. And there was a sadhu there that they would see every day. He was overcome with devotional emotions. The boys in his group used to see this sadhu, and some of them would find him amusing. Gopakumar, as a kid, before he was initiated, he considered him to be a very enigmatic, but he respected him very deeply, and he saw, oh, this is a wonderful person. He knew nothing about spiritual science or gurus or anything like that. But out of affection, he used to bring him milk products every day from the village, and he'd give it as a gift. And one day, this guru called him. He said, I have something to give you. So he called him over to the bank of the river, and then he gave him a Diksha mantra. And Gopakumar had no idea what it was. And the guru, after imparting this mantra, because of hearing the mantra, he fainted in ecstasy. And this coward boy standing there, what did I do wrong? And he was alarmed by the whole situation. And the guru then awoke from his trance, and he walked away out of spiritual bewilderment, giving no instruction whatsoever about how to chant the mantra at all. And of course, this is one of the predominant themes of the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, that without that instruction on how to chant the mantra properly, without that kind of guidance, Gopakumar ends up going everywhere in the universe to try to find his way back to Godhead. But it's also clear he's telling his story to this other brahmana, and he says in the story that Srimati Radharani asked me to come here and intervene in your life. So there's a way in which we're being watched out for. It's not that things are happening randomly, but any time we meet Guru, for instance, when Dhruva Maharaj meets his Guru, who is? Narada Muni overheard his conversation in the palace. How's that possible? He wasn't there. So then he explains that the Supreme Personality of God is within everyone's heart, and he informed him that there's a living entity here that needs help. So he intervened in the life of Dhruva Maharaj because it's directed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So my point is, and hopefully sufficiently substantiated by Shastra, is that there's a way in which it's Krishna's will that the living entities come back to God, and he uses various representatives in order to assist people in coming back home, back to Godhead, and he assists them in various ways. So it's not a stereotype way in which the guru independently does this or that to save the living entity, but he does it in concert with Krishna and according to the way Krishna makes the arrangement, which may include coming back to the material world to help the disciple make the next steps in coming back to Godhead. I hope that helps Sundarananda Prabhu. Okay, can we read one more paragraph?
Yes.
We were, everybody okay?
Yes.
Everyone good? Okay. Accepting initiation from the spiritual master and receiving instruction from him. I didn't read that yet, right? Okay. Sage Prabuddha continued to speak to the king as follows. My dear king, a disciple has to accept the spiritual master. Not only, I did read it. First paragraph is read. First statement only. Okay, I'm going to read the whole thing. Sage Prabuddha continued to speak to the king as follows. My dear king, a disciple has to accept the spiritual master, not only as spiritual master, but also as the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Supersoul. In other words, the disciple should accept the spiritual master as God because he is the external manifestation of Krishna. This is confirmed in every scripture, and a disciple should accept the spiritual master as such. One should learn Srimad Bhagavatam seriously and with all respect and veneration for the spiritual master. Hearing and speaking Srimad Bhagavatam is the religious process that elevates one to the platform of serving and loving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Question, what is the religious process that elevates one to the platform of serving and loving the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Correct. The attitude of the disciple should be to satisfy the bona fide spiritual master. Then it will be very easy for him to understand spiritual knowledge. This is confirmed in the Vedas, and Rupa Goswami will further explain that for a person who has unflinching faith in God and the spiritual master, everything becomes revealed very easily. Serving the spiritual master with faith and confidence. Regarding accepting initiation from the spiritual master, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 17th chapter, verse 27, it is stated by Lord Krishna, my dear Uddhava, the spiritual master must be accepted not only as my representative, but as my very self. He must never be considered on the same level with an ordinary human being. One should never be envious of the spiritual master as one may be envious of an ordinary man. The spiritual master should always be seen as the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by serving the spiritual master, one is able to serve all the demigods. So this verse, 11:17:27, you should all know this verse. Acharyamam bijaniyam. Navamanye takarichit namartya buddhyasu yeta sarvadeva mayoguru acharyamam vijaniyam navamanye takarichit namartya buddhyasu yeta sarvadeva mayo guru acharyam the spiritual master mam myself vijaniyat one should know na avamanyeta one should never disrespect karichit at any time na never martya buddhya with the idea of his being an ordinary man. Asuyeta, one should be envious. Sarvadeva, of all the demigods. Maya, representative. Guru, the spiritual master. Translation, one should know the Acharya as myself and never disrespect him in any way. One should not envy him, thinking him an ordinary man, for he is the representative of all the demigods. I'll just read the first section of this purport. This verse appears in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 1.46. His Divine Grace, Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pariraja Kacharja Ashtotara Shata Shishiman A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada has commented on this verse as follows. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.17.27 spoken by Lord Sri Krishna when he was questioned by Uddhava regarding the four social and spiritual orders of society. He was specifically instructing how a brahmachari should behave under the care of a spiritual master. A spiritual master is not an enjoyer of facilities offered by his disciples. He is like a parent. Without the attentive service of his parents, a child cannot grow to manhood. Similarly, without the care of the spiritual master, one cannot rise to the plane of transcendental service. The spiritual master is also called Acharya, or a transcendental professor of spiritual science. Manu Sanghita 2.140 explains the duties of an Acharya, describing that a bona fide spiritual master accepts charge of disciples, teaches them the Vedic knowledge with all its intricacies, and gives them their second birth. Continue, please.
The ceremony performed to initiate a disciple into the study of spiritual science is called Upanithi, or the function that brings one nearer to the spiritual master. One who cannot be brought nearer to a spiritual master cannot have a sacred thread, and thus he is indicated to be a Shudra. The sacred thread worn on the body of a Brahmana, Kshatriya, or Vaishya is a symbol of initiation by the spiritual master. It is worth nothing if worn merely to boast of high parentage. The duty of the spiritual master is to initiate a disciple with the sacred thread ceremony, and after this namaskar or purificatory process,
go ahead.
The spiritual master actually begins to teach the disciple about the Vedas. A person born a Shudra is not barred from such spiritual initiation, provided he is approved by the spiritual master, who is duly authorized to award a disciple the right to be a Brahmana if he finds him perfectly qualified. In the Vayu Purana, an Acharya is defined as one who knows the import of all the Vedic literatures, explains the purpose of the Vedas, abides by the rules and regulations, and teaches his disciples to act in the same way.
Name those three again. Vayu Purana says.
In the Vayu Purana, an Acharya is defined as one who knows the
import of all Vedic literature.
Explains the purpose of the Vedas.
Two.
Abides by their rules and regulations. Three. And teaches his disciples to act in the same way.
Good.
Only out of his immense compassion does the personality of Godhead reveal himself as the spiritual master. Therefore, in the dealings of an Acharya, there are no activities but those of transcendental loving service to the Lord. He is the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. It is worthwhile to take shelter of such a steady devotee, who is called Ashraya Vigraha, or the manifestation or form of the Lord of whom one must take shelter. If one poses himself as an Acharya, but does not have an attitude of servitorship to the Lord, he must be considered an offender, and this offensive attitude disqualifies him from being an Acharya. The bona fide spiritual master always engages in unalloyed devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By this test, he is known to be a direct manifestation of the Lord and a genuine representative of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Such a spiritual master is known as Acharya Deva. Influenced by an envious temperament and dissatisfied because of an attitude of sense gratification, mundaners criticize a real Acharya. In fact, however, a bona fide Acharya is not different from the personality of Godhead. And therefore, to envy such an Acharya is to envy the personality of Godhead himself. This will produce an effect subversive to transcendental realization. As mentioned previously, a disciple should always respect the spiritual master as a manifestation of Sri Krishna. But at the same time, one should always remember that a spiritual master is never authorized to imitate the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. False spiritual masters pose themselves as identical with Sri Krishna in every respect, to exploit the sentiments of their disciples. But such impersonalists can only mislead their disciples, for the ultimate aim is to become one with the Lord. This is against the principles of the devotional cult. The real Vedic philosophy is Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, which establishes everything to be simultaneously one with and different from the personality of Godhead. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami confirms that this is the real position of a bona fide spiritual master, and says that one should always think of the spiritual master in terms of his intimate relationship with Mukunda, Sri Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami, in his Bhakti Sandarbha, has clearly defined that a pure devotee's observation of the spiritual master and Lord Shiva as one with the personality of Godhead exists in terms of their being very dear to the Lord, not identical with him in all respects. Following in the footsteps of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami and Srila Jiva Goswami, Later Acharyas like Srila Vishnubhai Chakravarti Thakur have confirmed the same truths. In his prayer to the spiritual master, Srila Vishnubhai Chakravarti Thakur confirms that all the revealed scriptures accept the spiritual master to be identical with the personality of Godhead, because he is a very dear and confidential servant of the Lord.
Which verse is he talking about? Call a friend. Okay. Go ahead. What's the verse? Say it. Sakshadari.
Sakshadaritvena samasta shastra yuktastata bhavyata eva sadhi kintur prabhurya priyapadasya vande guru shri.
And it means? Generally, according to what we just heard?
The spiritual master is identical with the personality of Godhead.
Yeah, because he's very dear. That's the point that's being made here. I'll read this again. Listen. Following in the footsteps of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami and Srila Jiva Goswami, later acharyas like Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur have confirmed the same truths. In his prayer to the spiritual master, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur confirms that all the revealed scriptures accept the spiritual master be identical with the personality of Godhead because he is very dear, confidential servant of the Lord. So this is the way in which he's considered to be identical because he's so dear. For instance, if you know someone who's very dear, like someone has a dear son or a friend, practically they're inseparable. There's no difference between them. So in that sense, the spiritual master, because he's very, very dear, because, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the one who's spreading Krishna consciousness, teaching the message of Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna say about such a person? Very dear or what else?
Very, very.
He said, very, very dear even? What does he say? The most dear. There's a difference between very, very and most, isn't there? Please say yes.
Yes.
Yes, there's a difference between very and most. He's the most dear of anyone. So a person who's given their life, Shabde Paricha Nishnatam Brahmanyupashramashrayam, is that that's their only concern, is teaching others about Krishna consciousness. That person becomes non-different from Hari, because such a person is so dear to Hari. So this is the Shastra conclusion of Srila Vishnu, Chakravarti Thakur and others. And it applies not just to the Guru, but also to Lord Shiva as well, in that sense that Lord Shiva is very dear to Lord Krishna. Okay?
Gaudiya Vaishnavas therefore worship Srila Gurudev, the spiritual master, in the light of his being the servitor of the personality of Godhead. In all the ancient literatures of devotional service, and in the more recent songs of Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and other unalloyed Vaishnavas, the spiritual master is always considered to be either one of the confidential associates of Srimati Radharani, or a manifested representation of Srila Nityananda Prabhu.
Okay, good. So this is a very important verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada continues. The attitude of the disciples should be to satisfy the bona fide spiritual master. Then it will be very easy for him to understand spiritual knowledge. Oh, I read that, didn't I? Yes, I'm already down to serving the spiritual master with faith and confidence. Following the footsteps of saintly persons. In the Skanda Purana, it is advised that a devotee follow the past acharyas and saintly persons because by such following, one can achieve the desired results with no chance of lamenting or being baffled in his progress. The scriptures known as Brahma Yamala state as follows. If someone wants to pose himself as a great devotee without following the authorities of the revealed scriptures, then his activities will never help him to make progress in devotional service. Instead, he will simply create disturbances for the sincere students of devotional service. Verse. Who's got it? I heard that. Who said? Go ahead. We have a pundit right in the middle of the... You what?
I might not know the whole verse.
Then go down
Shriti
in flames.
Shriti Shruti Puranati Pancharatri Bithivina Oikantiki Hori Bhakti Utpadayati.
Bengali.
Yeah.
Oikantiki. Okay, yes. And tell us basically what it means.
It means that without the... without properly following the Sriti, Shruti and other Puranas, if somebody wants to even sincerely perform Hari Bhakti, it is nothing but a disturbance.
Yeah, it becomes a disturbance. So one has to follow the Shastra and refer to Shastra when one's presenting spiritual knowledge. You shouldn't speculate and deviate. It becomes a disturbance to everybody else. Those who do not strictly follow the principles of revealed scriptures are generally called sahajiyas. Those who have imagined everything to be cheap, who have their own concocted ideas, and who do not follow the scriptural injunctions. Such persons are simply creating disturbances in the discharge of devotional service. So we've heard about guru, and now we're hearing about sadhu and shastra. So these three are the ways in which we find our way forward in devotional service. And there, if you put one dot on a page, you can draw a line in any direction. But if you put three dots, then you're going to have a very distinctive direction. So all of these three entities are vitally important to move forward in devotional service. What are they?
Guru,
sadhu,
shastra.
All three. And it's not guru, guru, guru. It's not shastra, shastra, shastra. It's not sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. But it's guru, sadhu, shastra. You take these three things and you consider them very carefully. Then if a guru starts saying things that aren't in shastra and they're also not confirmed by sadhu, then what is your conclusion? Something's not okay. You have to be thoughtful to advance in spiritual life. It's not a cult. You have to carefully consider this thing. Tat shraddhana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashyantyatmani chatmanam bhakta shuta grihitaya. So you have to be fortified with knowledge and detachment, and you also have to be thoughtful. And you have to consider these things very carefully for yourself in order to be directed properly. Guru, sadhu, shastra. Correct?
Yes.
Say yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Manjula Kanta.
Maharaj, when we say that you need all these three, so if I just have guru and I don't focus on sadhu or shastra, then I have a chance to deviate in various directions. And yet you remind us again and again of the verse that one who follows devotional service, for him knowledge and detachment automatically arrive. So these two verses do not correlate. Help me understand how they
Well, correlate. A guru is somebody who is a shabde parita nishnatam. We notice that the definition of a guru is one who has fidelity to shastra. So you have to acquaint yourself with shastra. For instance, you should know Bhagavad Gita in order to know what is a qualified guru. And then when you see the guru, you see that the guru is constantly referring, backing up everything with shastra. The guru doesn't speak out of turn and say, I think it's like this. Why is it? I don't know. It's just I kind of feel like that. The guru is one who gives precedent. Just like Prabhupada said, a lawyer knows the law and knows the law books very carefully. The lawyer goes into court and the judge says, why are you making this assertion that this person is guilty? And he said, I don't know. I just feel like it. That's not acceptable. You have to give a case and you have to give precedent. So this case, it's in 1972. It was, this person against that person, the circuit courts decided in this way, and that proves it on one side. Then there were other decisions that lead up to that. It's a valid legal theory. And so then it's bona fide. So you have to be able to see what is a guru who's leading you properly, who's actually referring to shastra. So the guru is the representative of the shastra. But you'll find that with the lawyer, you may go and look at all the law books and everything like that, but you still need the lawyer to help you sort it out. So, guru, sadhu, shastra, all these three things are what guide us as we go forward. And then you see, how does it work? Guru, sadhu. And then you see guru, shastra. Then you see how are the sadhus applying this in their life. See, what are the great acharyas? Why do we have mahajans? These Mahajans are listed because look at their life. Look what they did. They're basically the Mahajans, like Bali Maharaj is one of our Mahajans. Why is he Mahajan? He made a decision. He had a moment of truth that it was a big decision to make, that do I listen to my smarta guru who says, okay, just devotional service is okay, but don't get carried away? Or, he said, no, if it's Vishnu, I'm surrendering. That set a precedent. And they say, okay, look what Bali Maharaj did in this situation. He had a choice to make. He made the right choice. He's a guiding principle. It corroborates what's there in Shastra and what's there from the Guru. Three things. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. Three things. Not Guru, Guru, Guru. But Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. These three things you have to be thoughtful and consider. And if the Guru is not speaking according to Shastra, then you might investigate. Because maybe you don't know which Shastra the person's talking from. You might inquire. And if not, like, what's the principle? Why aren't you following? Yes.
Prabhu, we were talking about Mahajans. I was just thinking that in our Bhakti Vaibhava exam, we had a question that we had to mention all the 11 Mahajans. And, we had a discussion after the exam that many of us didn't remember all the 11 Mahajans. So we added our own little, whatever we thought. We didn't want to leave out the answer just like that. So some of us wrote Kunti, some of us wrote, we wrote other names. So we were just sitting down and thinking, what determines? Only those 11 people were Mahajans. And also not in a wrong way, but we thought that all the Mahajans were men. There was no women devotee in it. So we were thinking, is there a particular criteria of why is only some devotees are Mahajans and why only there are 11?
Well, what did Srivas Prabhu say? Did you ask Srivas? Okay, first ask Srivas. I don't want to intercede because it was his test. And then come back and tell us what he said. Okay? Thank you. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. What Manjula Kanta Mataji was saying, as you were also mentioning, that we have to keep in mind Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. I was thinking, Guru is Guru not similar to Sadhu? Why are we mentioning Sadhu?
They're all similar. In fact, that's the whole point. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, they overlap. They're one in another sense, not just overlapping, but my point, the Guru is Guru because Guru speaks for Shastra and Sadhu. And a Sadhu is a Sadhu because a Sadhu follows Guru and Shastra. And Shastra is unassailable. We accept it as axiomatic truth coming from Krishna. But the application of it at different times and circumstances and so forth is revealed to us through the Guru and through the Sadhus and so forth.
So it's kind of a triangle or a tripod that we can consider?
Yes.
Or is there someone, of all these three, whom should we consider the topmost or should we consider them as on the same level?
Well, as I mentioned, the Shastra is axiomatic. So as you'll find in the Tathasandarbha or in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when we talk about Shraddha or faith, this is the beginning of devotional service, Ado Shraddha, Tathasura Sangha, that this means awakening of faith in Shastra. That I accept there's an axiomatic truth in Shastra and I accept this is the words coming from infallible source. So in this sense, this is the basis. Because then the Guru is the one who follows Shastra. If he deviates from the teaching of Shastra, then no longer considered Guru. And the Sadhu also is following like that. So of the three, the Shastra is there as the foundation of everything, but all are in a harmony with those things. And there's ways in which, as I mentioned before, one has to take the guidance of Guru and Sadhu in practical ways in order to apply the Shastra.
So I can understand that Sadhu is one who is leading what the knowledge he is getting from the Shastra or showing us by his example?
Yes, that's what a sadhu means, one who's showing by example. Various life situations that they take it up and they show, this is what you do, this is how you live your life. you apply, this is how you apply the Shastra practically in your life. You can follow in that way.
Thank you.
He said, Mahajans, just like we have our list of the Shiksha Parampara from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, actually some are Shiksha, some are Diksha, but the fact is that in any science, you have prominent names of personalities who have exemplified the teachings and have maintained them, especially at times when they were under attack and so forth. And so these names become prominent. But all the Vaishnavas are worshipable, and there are many other names that aren't there, and you say, how about this, how about that? But there's a way in which we form a representative list, and similarly with the Mahajans. And similarly, we find in the the Shastra, you mentioned Kunti, there are other great sadhvis, women, Vaishnavas, who exemplified the teachings in so many different ways. But I still want to hear what Srivas Prabhu has to say.
So, today we took advantage of the fact that Srila Prabhupada left us the Nectar of Devotion, summary study of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We went into it a little bit. We just touched our little finger into that ocean, took a little taste, sprinkled a little water on our heads. But even that is substantial, just the tiniest touch. How deep is the ocean of Srila Prabhupada's books? Also, this morning I was just talking to Devamrita Swami, who I'm working on in a division of the BBT to bring out the Goswami books. We already have Tattva Sandarbha, we have Laku Bhagavatamrita, Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Next will be the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The Prabhupada gave the summary study of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He also began in on the extended translations and commentaries to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he asked that it be continued, and it was. So in a similar way, the BBT will be bringing out the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There'll be a huge demand for this book. The Bhakti Sandarbha is also coming out. It's a book that the devotees will want to have in their homes because it's one of the most important of all the literatures substantiating the process of bhakti, written by Jiva Goswami. Just a warning, it's very hard to read. It's highly, highly philosophical. Nonetheless, you'll all want to have it. He was asking me how many copies, to print, and it's something that there's a section of devotees who just want to have it and worship it and keep it. And you can try to read it, just as at the end of the Tattva Sandarbha, the Sarva Samvadini. We read that a couple of times, but only out of duty. I couldn't understand a word of it, but we did it anyway because Jiva Goswami wrote it. It was meant for people with much higher intelligence. So we worship all these books. We bring them out in order to preserve them in society, so they'll be there. But the nectar of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is something there'll be a stampede for. So I'm starting to mention it now, even though it's not in production. We'll start a pre-ordering process soon. They'll all be gone before it even hits the press. So I'm just telling you now, and anybody else that's listening, it's coming down. It's such a powerful rendition given to us by Bhanu Swami, who's an international treasure. He's an amazing devotee. He's Canadian, but he looks Japanese. He goes to Japan regularly. We have service there together. He reserves all his energy in order to be absorbed in translating all these books that he's doing. What do I mean by that? If you write an email, he'll write you back with as few words as possible. No salutation, no ending thing, no name, anything. He gets it down to one word answers. However, he is very responsive. I asked him one time, Maharaj, why do you do that? He said, I have to answer everybody, and I don't have time. But I've noticed him when I went to Chennai, and I saw him, I met him in his office. Every waking minute that he's has available, he's there working with these Vaishnava Shastras, bringing them into the world.
Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, who was the Sanskrit editor for the BBT for many years, trained at the same time Prabhu was here. He was getting training. And he trusted Bhanu Maharaj's translations very much, because, of course, there's Sanskrit's very intricate language, and there's a lot of ways it can be translated. But he not only has fidelity to Srila Prabhupada, but also expert knowledge of Sanskrit. So we're fortunate that these books will be coming out. We should take full advantage of them, absorb our lives, and there's barely enough time to do everything we want to do, but somehow that we should even squeeze more time out of our lives to go deeply within these literatures, especially the Nectar Devotion, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Instruction, anything else? Sri Upanishad, and so forth. Get as much as you can while you can as a human being passing through during this time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just here a few minutes ago. And as this song says, dive into the Sankirtan movement. Don't hold back. Dive into the ocean. It's an ocean, Rasaranavi. And if you dive into that ocean and the activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you'll come out on the shore of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. This is how one advances in this age, by taking shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the practical things that you're doing, especially distributing this transcendental knowledge through the Shastra. You're going door to door, street to street, finding ways to get people to take these books. There's no finer or higher service that you can do, of course, in concert with all the other things that we do here in order to attract the attention of Lord Krishna and advance in devotional service. Anybody who agrees with the sentiment of that statement, please say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna!
Okay. So now we're going to have a Guru Puja. We worship our founder Acharya's Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So we'll roll up the carpet and we'll bring out the paraphernalia for duly worshiping His Divine Grace. And just after that, we'll have prasadam. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpadrubhascha kripasnabhevacha patitanam bhavani bhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Natari arman. Hey! Natari arman. Natari arman. Natari arman. Natari arman. Natari arman.